Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studios.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you
yes,
tonight.
Yes, we do.
Rizzo and Martinez are out. Mike Brown is the new head coach of the Knicks. And the Phoenix Suns have no draft picks until 2031. But we begin today's show with MLB announced their All-Star selections this week. And of course, we knew Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani would be among the stars. But were there any guys that you thought were deserving that did not make the cut this year?
Well, you're going to expect me to go with Juan Soto first.
Yes, I do.
I know you're going to be expecting me to go to Juan Soto first. I will not be going to Juan Soto first. However, he does have a case. Let's start with Christopher Sanchez. 7-2, 2.59 ERA. No, sir. You are not an all-star. No, sir. I guess.
No, sir, for you.
116 strikeouts. Not good enough for you. 1.13 whip is a little high. Yeah. But no, no, sir. You are not an all-star. Trey Turner. 2.99, 11 homers. You are not an all-star. No, sir. We must get the immortal Kyle Stowers on this team. We must get Hunter Goodman on this team. We must get guys from the drizzling shit organizations onto this team, because every team must be represented like it's Little League. This is the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. This is not Little League. Not every team needs to be represented. If it is not worthy representation, how about the worst team in the league, the Nationals, the Rockies, the White Sox, teams that are generally devoid of merit. There should not be a team. There should not be a representative. That's it. This is a season to forget for them. That's like, I don't know. It's just an absolute black eye on what's going on. And, you know, there are some in the American League too. George Springer has 16 homers. He's hitting 280. Like, that's solid.
He had a really good week.
Yeah.
Smashing the ball this week.
And Paul Goldschmidt's hitting 280 something. I think he's hitting 282.
I think Christopher Sanchez is going to wind up getting a spot, right? Because he's probably going to take Chris Sale's spot because Chris Sale's on the IL.
That's the thing. Like, there are going to be injury replacements, which is why, like, Juan Soto is going to be there. Sanchez will be there. Trey Turner will be there. These guys will get there, but the difference between Juan Soto and Fernando Tatis Jr. was one hit. Fernando Tatis has one more hit. Juan Soto has him in every other category. Tatis, you are an all-star. Soto, you are not. That was just to make a fucking point.
Yeah, I kind of like that Soto also is lead. I believe he leads the league in walks. I believe he leads the league in walks. That's pretty impressive. I like that.
He's not having a bad year. He's not having like a stratosphere great year.
He's just not having a Soto year, right? Like, he's having a good year, but he's not having like a typical Soto like year, I feel like. I'm with you on Trey Turner. I mean, I think he's just one of the best baseball players. I really do. I'm a big fan of his. And I think it's a better all-star game if he's hitting in it and fielding in it. Abrams from the Nationals, man. I mean, listen, we're going to get into the segment next when they fired their general manager and they fired their coach. But I think their future is bright. Woods, Abrams, they've got a good team. They've got a good young team. And I thought he played really well. Betts. I don't think got picked.
And no.
Man, like, Mookie Betts is probably top 5, top 10 baseball player of this generation, right? You would say. I was interested to find out that he holds record. He's hit the most grand slams in most three-run home runs. Let me remember this. He has the most three-run home run games out of any active player. He has six.
Oh.
And, isn't that impressive?
That is impressive. And the fact that it's only six.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah, three home runs in a game. Yeah, crazy. And it's only, six. Alonso. Pete Alonso. I think he's having a better year than Freddie Freeman. I mean, I'm a Freddie Freeman fan.
Well,
I love Freddie
Freeman.
He's
just not a starter.
Oh, he is on?
He made it.
He should be a starter.
But he's not doing the home run derby.
That's good.
Yeah, he's got nothing left to prove in the home
run. He's got nothing left to prove on that. But he's, I could also make the argument that the Cubs' Michael Busch had a better first half than Freeman, too. Like, you know,
say Suzuki?
So, isn't he lead the league in RBI, I believe?
Yeah.
So,
nope, you sir are not an all-star.
No.
Fuck that shit.
No. Lock it up.
Look at Julio Rodriguez and look at Jazz Chisholm. Like, first of all, Jazz missed all that time, and their numbers are almost identical. So a low to mid 240s and then a low teens in the homers, that's not all-star, dude. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, listen, I also have a problem with Acuna, but I guess it is the home ballpark. I get it. But he just started like a couple weeks ago, man. He just started playing.
Yeah.
If we
were not upset about Paul Skeens last year, we can't be really upset about Ronald Acuna if he's hitting the cover off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only thing that's worthy to talk about. But I'm also with you on, you know, this isn't a participation thing. You're going to get eyes on this game. It should just be the best players. You know, it shouldn't have to take a player from every team. Sorry, Colorado. Like, sorry, Florida Marlins. Like, you're just not represented here. You know, do better. Just do better. This whole inclusive thing, it seems a little ridiculous. It's unnecessary. I mean, there's always next year. And anything can happen. Like, you know, somebody can get hurt or at the last minute and you can need a reserve. But the idea that everybody's got to be there, that's horseshit.
No, completely. And, I mean, you do have a fair share of pitchers. Like, this is really more of the pitching situation, who the guys are going to bow out. So you're looking at guys like Valdez or Christopher Sanchez or Ranger Suarez or, you know, even Carlos Rodon. Fringy guys who are going to get onto the All-Star team if guys are like, I just pitched on Sunday. My team's not going to let me pitch again.
Yeah, right? I mean, he pitched like shit over the weekend. It's hard to believe it. It's hard to believe that they tossed out the facial hair policy for that guy. But that's a story
for another
day.
Kiss your sister on the Subway Series.
Yeah. I think Andy Pages had a pretty decent first half, too. I feel like he got overlooked a bit. It's what's going to happen, right?
There's always going to be some guys who are just like, it wasn't good enough. And there's always going to be, as long as there's going to be this situation where every team needs to be represented, you're always going to have some guys who you can easily look at and say, clear snub. Clear, like Andy Páez, you mentioned him. Like, he's on a, I think he's about like 17, 18 home runs.
Is that
how
we want to say it? We're going to say Páez?
Yeah, I think it's. I think he's Cuban. So, yeah, but you know, you're gonna have these guys like you're having really good years, really solid years, and you have to wonder if Major League Baseball is really starting to buy into the idea of like, hey, this is entertainment, this is a show, let's put our stars out there. J-Rod is not having a great year, but he's got name recognition, so we're gonna put him in. Whether he wants it or not. Clayton Kershaw is getting one of those exemptions, like a commissioner's exemption to be there.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I'm fine with it. You know, he just hit 3,000 strikeouts. Another cool fact about him, he's the fourth lefty to go over 3,000 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Fourth lefty. So it's Carlton, it's Randy Johnson, Kershaw, and CC Sabathia.
Now, you would think, like, You would think like a guy like Warren Spahn. You would think maybe even Whitey Ford. Koufax didn't pitch long enough.
No.
So you would figure that some of those guys might have been there. But no, it's only four now.
And I believe Kershaw is the third pitcher to get 3,000 strikeouts with one team. So he got it all with the Dodgers. Steve Carlton got it with one team. Even though he played with a lot of teams, he got 3,000 with one team.
That's impressive.
And Bob Gibson got 3,000 with one team. So a little fun fact to play with.
That is a fun fact.
Full of information, Z. Full of information. Oh, yeah. But we're a week away from also the MLB draft. And the last place Washington Nationals own the first overall pick. Presumably LSU's Cade Anderson. But the org chart in our nation's capital has changed as GM Mike Rizzo and manager Davey Martinez were relieved of their duties on Sunday. Miguel Cairo has taken over as interim manager. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Well, first off, congratulations to Miguel Cairo. You know, the diligent Miguel Cairo, as
former
he was
Yankee, Met.
Former Yankee, former Met, former
Indian? No, Red.
He was a Red.
Definitely was a Red.
Yeah, Angel? He was. If you're looking for an immaculate grid, Miguel Cairo is definitely going to be a guy.
Yeah.
I think he was a White Sox, if I remember correctly. I think he was an original Tampa Bay Devil Ray. So.
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe so too.
He's got some cred. He absolutely has
career,
some cred.
Career 260 hitter.
Solid.
Original Ray.
Yeah.
Toronto, Chicago, Cubs, St. Louis, Mets, Yankees, Seattle, Philadelphia, Cincinnati. 17 years. My man.
He put in the work.
My man.
He's put in the work. And he was a coach. He's been a coach. So, you know, it's one of those things that we're good with that. We are good with that. The cream rises to the top, and this is his time. As far as being a big deal, a little deal, or a no deal, the timing of it makes it a big deal. Because you're a week away from this draft, right? You've changed the entire top level of the organization. So, does this change the trajectory of your pick? Like, are you going to take Cade Anderson? Are you going to take the lefty from LSU? Or are you going to go maybe high school route? Are you going to go Ethan Holliday instead? Like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder here. Like, the new interim GM may just be taking orders from the owner, and the owner may want Ethan Holliday. He may not want Cade Anderson. And there's speculation that Davey Martinez lost the locker room when, in a press conference, he said, you can't put any of this on management. You can't put any of this on the coaching staff. This is all on the players. This is on the players underperforming. And yeah, the moment you throw the team under the bus like that, good fucking luck. Even in baseball? Like the moment players feel that their coach or their manager doesn't have their back, it's over, man.
You're telling me that there are guys in that locker room that don't believe that what he was saying was kind of true? There's no accountability, Z? There's got to be a couple of guys in there where there's accountability thinking, man, I should be playing better. We should be better. You know, you don't think so? You don't think he's been around long enough that he earned that from some of those guys?
Doesn't matter, because he may have a pelt on the wall, but who is left from that team?
I mean, you don't think that an Aaron Boone coming in and saying something like that would get those guys going? Because I feel like that's what Aaron Boone needs to do sometimes. Maybe not do it publicly, but maybe say it. It's like, God,
I don't think
what
so.
The fuck, man? We are 162 plus points differential. How do we get shut out in a whole fucking series, guys? Like, what the absolute fuck? Like, you know, like, I feel like sometimes
that works. That doesn't work in a young clubhouse. It works in a veteran clubhouse, because then you have veterans who stand up and say, "Skip is right." these kids, and they are kids. This is a very young team. You have Mackenzie Gore, you have James Ward, talented kids, but kids nonetheless. They're going to make stupid mistakes. They're going to be immature. Look at what C.J. Abrams did last year. He stayed out until 6 o'clock in the morning for, you know, in Chicago, and then he had a day game. Like, this is what you're dealing with. This is the level of maturity that you're
You're not going to play today, friend. You're actually going to go down.
Fuck you, I'm not. It's almost as bad as the White Sox, because there was a story.
L-I-M.
I forget who told it. Yeah, no, that's what it was. One of the players, unnamed player, didn't hustle. And Pedro Grifol, who was there last year, said, I'm going to take you out. He said, if you take me out of this game, we're going to have a problem. So, I'm sorry?
I'm going to go start a fight.
Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier was being interviewed. He's the one who's relaying the story. So, it's like, I just got here, dude, and this is what I'm seeing. Like, this player turned to the manager of the team and said, if you take me out of this game, we're going to have a problem. Are you threatening me? Take it however you want, Chief. Take it however you want. But any guys on this squad that have pride may take that as a little bit, you know, of a challenge. And then you have other guys, you know, younger, softer players would take that as a lack of faith and as manager throwing them under the bus. And why should I listen to you? Like, why should I listen to you? I don't care if you have a ring. Like, you had a ring with Juan Soto. You know, you had a ring with
loaded
everybody
team.
But Bryce Harper.
Team's right? Loaded.
They ain't there anymore. They're not walking through. If they're walking through that door, they're going to the visitors clubhouse. They're not going to the Nationals clubhouse.
Yeah.
So
I feel like every team has a good National on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. They've had plenty go through those. It's like a turnstile.
Yeah.
But it's pretty big deal. You have a week to go. Like, you have to figure out who's manning the ship, what direction you guys are going in. You're clearly going to sell at the trade deadline. So the big league club isn't necessarily affected by this move because Miguel Cairo is there. He's a placeholder. They're in last place. They're in last place with Davey Martinez. They're going to be in last place without Davey Martinez. What veterans are going to be dealt off, right? You're not dealing Abrams. You're not dealing Wood. You're not dealing Gore. You're not dealing the young guns that are there that you want to be the core of your team. So that decision is not being made. Like, that's not happening. But you're looking at a situation where this pick could shape the trajectory of your team in the next couple of years. Because as we've seen, these players are coming up sooner and sooner. Torkelson, Skeens, Caglione. They're barely spending time in the minors now. Whether they're getting rushed or not, they're in the bigs. So if you have a guy like Cade Anderson and he's just like dominating guys, he could be on the roster as soon as next year. So this could have an immediate impact and a long-term impact. So it's a huge deal. And they need to get this right. They need to get it right fast. But neither Davey Martinez nor Mike Rizzo are going to be out of jobs long. Like, they're going to end up someplace. And, you know, all they have to do is point to the ring. And, like, we've done it before. We can do it again. But this group wasn't happening.
Yeah, I mean, I like Mike Rizzo. I do. I think it's a big deal in baseball when you can your general manager, because it's a philosophy, right? There's a certain philosophy that he's been growing or nurturing. There's a method behind this madness. They recently won the World Series. I mean, what? It was like 6 years ago or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they have the number one pick. They've got some young players that are very good right now. So you can see that they were getting back to being prominent. The problem is I think management thought they would be better this year, right? You expected them to be, you know, not in last place, right? I mean, that's really what's killing them. And they're underperforming. I mean, and part of it is they just might need a new voice. I'm fine with them canning the manager. I don't really believe in the Rizzo thing, especially. I would give him a chance. He's been so good at drafting players. I would not pass up his genius or his plan and let him. I would let him go forward with this draft. And if you wanted to can him next year, you could can him next year. But maybe it could have been a thing where he was like, you know, if you can Davey, then I'm leaving too. It could have been like that, right? Because that's his guy.
That's speculation.
That's his guy. And it's like, listen, you're going to blow this up. I'm going too. And that might have been his way out. You know, it's grueling. Baseball's grueling to be bad for the last 6 years, to see all these prominent players you drafted go out the door and have success somewhere else. And you really not keep guys because you're not paying guys. You didn't pay guys. That's right. You had the chance to keep Soto. You didn't pay him. Trey Turner wanted to get paid. You didn't pay him. Like, you know, these were guys that they could have been here. But
and one so guy they paid was Strasburg. How'd that work out?
Well, you know, I could understand them paying him, though, right? I mean,
with that injury history, though, that, be, you know, at the time, Harper had a clean bill of health. Soto had a clean bill of health. Turner had a relatively clean bill of health. Strasburg was a wild card, man. He had Tommy John before he even got to the bigs.
Well, that's like a prerequisite of being a pitcher these days. I think even Skeens has had it already.
Yes.
I the only one I think that they should have tried a little harder to keep was Soto, but I always believed that they let him go with the idea that they were going to try and get him again. And I really did believe that they, you know, they did the trade to get the prospects, and the plan was, we're going to put our hat in the ring. Now, whether he comes back to us or not, we don't know. But they also, you know, they couldn't pony up the amount of money the Mets did, the Yankees did. So onward and upward, my friend, onward and upward.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
But the Tigers have the best record in the American League. And we've been talking about Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge for MVP the last 2 weeks. But what is more likely to happen? The Tigers winning the World Series or the Big Dumper winning the MVP? I asked you this question during the week.
You did. You did. You asked me this offline, and I think my answer surprised you a little bit.
It did. Couldn't believe the faith.
Cal Raleigh versus Aaron Judge, right?
Yeah.
Cal Raleigh versus Aaron Judge. We've seen Aaron Judge go off. We've seen him take over a team, and we've seen him go on a hot streak where balls are just going in the seats. They're just flying out left and right. So it's really between the two of them. Down the stretch, Cal Raleigh will most likely fade because catching is hard, man. Like, let's be real here. The hardest, most
you
physically...
would know.
I would know. My two fucked up knees, I would know. I would absolutely know. Catching every day, because he doesn't take days off. As
no,
you
doesn't.
Know, he's on your fantasy team.
He's on my fantasy team. He does not eat every day.
No, every day. And yes, he's in Seattle, but he does have to play on the road. It gets hot. In other places, it gets warm in Seattle. Like, wear and tear wise, like, that's gonna grind on you. It's not just the most physically demanding position, it's also the most psychologically demanding position, because you have to also orchestrate the pitching, right? You have to understand the scouting reports. You have to call the game based on what the pitcher has. You have to know more than almost the manager. Like, you have to be aware. That's why so many catchers make excellent managers. It's that they have their finger on the pulse of everything. That's really difficult. People underestimate how difficult it is. And Aaron Judge, I'm not just saying he only has to play the outfield, because, you know, playing the outfield has its own degree of difficulty. You know, they can always DH him. So that being said, like, I think it's more likely that the Tigers win the World Series than Cal Raleigh wrests this MVP from Aaron Judge. Yes, and yeah. I understand the Arthur Staple theory. I understand that they don't want to give it to the same guy back to back to back. But if he earns it, which Aaron Judge, you know, They won't gift this to him. If he's hitting 385 at the end, yeah. No. That's not a gift. No. That's here in that one. Now, the Tigers' pathway to the World Series. Let's talk about it. They got to go through either the Astros, the Yankees. On the periphery, you're looking at the Blue Jays. I don't think the Blue Jays will be in first place forever. Despite their equatorially hot streak right now, where they're 9-1 in their last 10, I think they will fade back to the pack because we've seen them fade back to the pack. History dictates that this group always falls behind. So they might be there as a wild card. The Rays may be there as a wild card. The Mariners may be there as a wild card. The Tigers are better than all. They can pitch, they can hit, they play defense. They're a better team. So we move over to the National League. I don't believe in any of the American League teams can really hang with them. The Yankees can put a scare in them. The Astros can put a scare in them. I don't believe in the extra periphery. It's still the Dodgers to lose in the National League. Yes, you have the Phillies. Yes, you have the Mets. Yes, you have the Cubs. You have the Giants. You have the Padres. It's still the Giants to lose. To be the man, you got to beat the man. To be the man, you got to beat the man, and the Dodgers are the man. So, that being said, the Dodgers pitching has been beat to hell this year. So, the Giants and Mets have used, between the two of them, I think 100 pitchers, something like that, between the two of them combined. They've been hit hard, both teams. So, it's easier. It's a better chance that the Tigers can get through this. Even with that gauntlet of teams, Cal Raleigh has to go through one guy. And I can't believe it. This one guy is going to be the one who holds Cal Raleigh back. So even though there's more depth on the other side of the argument with the Tigers winning the World Series, Aaron Judge is so far and ahead of most other players. I'm putting my money on Judge, man. I'm putting my money on Aaron M.F. Judge to hold off Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to put money down the Tigers before the season even started. So those odds have obviously gone, down tremendously because they are, have the best record now.
Yeah.
It's the short series. It's the 5-game series where they could get clipped, I feel like. And I don't know if they could win a 7-game series against the Yankees. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. And then the part that gets me with Raleigh and Judge is, yes, it goes back to what Arthur was telling us. And then it also goes to the fact that it's only one guy, right? And, something could happen to Mr. Judge in the second half where he misses a week or two or a month. This guy has hurt his toe and been out forever. And, there's a lot riding on Judge. They clearly go as he goes. I can't remember a Yankee team in recent memory that really there's one guy. If he's having a good day, they're having a good day. If he's not doing well, they're not doing well. So yes, he's batting 385 and he has 33 home runs and he's having a great year, but there's got to be some part of you that thinks at some point he's going to come down to earth. And what does that look like, right? I mean, if he's able to keep the 385 average all year, God bless. Yes, we'll give it to you. But I've got to imagine that he's going to go through some slump at some point that will bring one or two of the numbers down where at least it's a conversation. And yes, you could say the same thing for Kyle Raleigh, who's a catcher and who's been catching every day, that something can also happen to him where he can't play. But
I don't know. In watching the two of them play, and I've actually had the chance to watch the Mariners play, I don't feel like there's any slowdown in Cal. He seems like he's 100%, and he's ready to rip, ride, and rocket. Like, he's ready to go, and he's crushing them. And out of Seattle, which is crazy, because that ballpark is huge.
That ballpark is enormous. But, you know, we still have 2.5 months to go. So there's still plenty of time
for that to happen. 73 games left, something like that.
Yeah.
But
a lot of things can change between now and then, right? The Mariners are still in this thing. They're in second place in their division right now. They're close to a wild card. They may add some protection for Raleigh in the order, make it a little bit easier on him. Teams may decide, fuck it, I'm not pitching to this guy. The same way that teams have strategically said, fuck it, I'm not going to pitch to Aaron Judge.
I don't know why anybody does. I wouldn't. There's no reason to. I'll pitch to everybody else in this damn team. I'm not pitching to him.
No,
screw it. Let me go. Anthony Volpe beat me because he's trash.
Stanton and Rice, like, all of them. Like, none of them instill the fear that Aaron Judge instills.
Stan still got some pop, but Goldschmidt's good too, but not to the level of Aaron Judge. I'll roll the dice.
No, but the thing with
Goldie,
they're
going to re-sign him.
Oh yeah,
they're going to fucking re-sign him
after this year. He's definitely earned it.
Yeah, they're only going to re-sign, and they shouldn't though. They shouldn't, but they are going to. They shouldn't, because you've got to move forward at some point. They should really move Volpe. I mean, they should have sent him down last year. I don't think there's a player on the team that swings at and misses more strikes than Anthony Volpe. It's like, are you swinging with your eyes closed? Are you pulling a Brett Gardner right now? They're throwing strikes, dude. Hit the ball. Their lineup is so fucked up. It's such a mess. I mean, they're batting Goldschmidt first sometimes. It's like, guys, what are we doing here? You know, if you're going to – listen, really, Volpe should be first. But if he can't hack it, put Jazz first. Get Judge out of the two-hole. I hate that shit. Put him in – let him bat third. Stanton fourth. Goldschmidt fifth. Bellinger sixth. Come at me now. Like, what are you going to do? Wells seven. Come on. Like, it's not hard. It's not hard, guys.
They don't have a traditional leadoff hitter, and it looks like they don't believe in the traditional leadoff.
They should. Volpe should be the leadoff guy. There's no reason why, if he's going to strike out, let's get it over with. Let's just get it over with. What are we going to put him at the bottom for? So that when there's three guys on, he strikes out?
Right. You know, naturally. That's exactly what it is. But, I mean, they want their high on base guys first. And I understand the thought process behind it. I also understand the thought process behind, you know, getting Aaron Judge as many at-bats as possible. But when Anthony Volpe's hitting .219, by the way, he's hitting .219 and his on-base percentage is .296. He's not your leadoff hitter. No fucking way. No fucking way. Ben Rice first.
Then you can't play here.
Ben Rice is fine as a leadoff hitter. He's got no speed, but he gets on base. Dude gets on base. Paul Goldschmidt has no speed.
Do I care if it's a walk or a hit? Do not.
My man gets on base. That's the thing. And that's the key. That is the key to victory here. Do you get on friggin' base? Because Aaron Judge is behind you. So they need to be able to get somebody to be that spark plug at the top of the order. And apparently 37-year-old Paul Goldschmidt is that guy.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Well, from a 37-year-old to a guy who's going to be 36-year-old when he's healthy again, Dame Lillard. Last week, the Bucks released him to make room for Miles Turner in a myriad of roster moves to cut costs. Dame is due over $100 million from the Bucks as he recovers from that torn Achilles, which will cost him all of next season. He's 35, going to be 36 next year. If you're Dame Lillard, is it time to call it a career, or do you go ring chasing at 36?
Man, how is Dame Lillard on the 75th anniversary team at Manu Ginobili?
Take a drink.
How is that possible? Oh, Z, I mean, listen. He's getting paid so much money next year to not even play. What does it really look like? What does the rest of his career look like? I mean, what would you be willing to play for if you're him? Like, you're going to pay for $5 million, you're going to pay for $3 million, you're going to pay for $10 million, and who's going to really pick you up? You know, because at that point, you're not going to go play for, like, the Clippers, right? You want to play for the Lakers, you want to play for the Knicks, you want to play for the Heat. Like, you want to play for a team that's going to be competing. And I just can't see a team that's competing that's going to pay, like, a 36-year-old point guard coming off of an Achilles tear X amount of dollars. I can't see it.
Check this out. Rumor has it that there may be a team that's going to sign him this year as a sign-in stash. The Celtics. You put him with a resurgent Tatum and then Jaylen Brown.
How much are you paying him?
Mid-level exception. Like, what can you honestly give him?
That's what I'm saying. Is that what you're going to play for?
He's getting that $22 million.
He sure is.
He's getting that money.
Comes down to a pride thing sometimes with some of these guys. You know, you got expenses
to get done the way he got done by the Bucks. It might be a little bit of fuck you. Like, okay, you're gonna do this to me? Fuck you! Like that. I'm gonna fix
it's
your
just,
ass.
I'm sure he didn't care. I don't think. Do you think he really cared? Do you think he wanted to go back and play with Giannis? Was that really working? You wanted to go play for Doc Rivers in fucking Wisconsin? You think that was really working there?
I mean, there's no guarantee that he was going to end up with Giannis anyway, the way things are going.
I don't think it really worked. I didn't think that team up really worked. I mean, as much as I like Dame Lillard as a player, I don't think he's that good. Like, you know, is he in the upper echelon of point guards? Am I going to take Dame Lillard over Kyrie Irving? Probably not. Am I going to take Dame Lillard over Luka Doncic? Probably not, right? And the other thing is, like, I got to be honest with you. I think the game is kind of changing, right? Like, I don't know if there's really a place for he's a 6'2 guard. Like, I feel like your guards these days need to be 6'3 and up, right? It's a bigger game now. It's a bigger game now because he's going to get exploited on the defensive end. You know, who's he? Like, he's going to check Luka Doncic? Even Holiday. Holiday's a tall guard. It's a tall guard. Lonzo Ball, tall guard. Most of these teams have tall guards now. I think the 6'1", 6'2", 6-foot point guard is on his way out in this league because they're just such a liability on defense. Like, offensively, Dame Lillard puts up he does his thing. He's going to score his points. I don't know what that's going to look like once he's done rehabbing from his Achilles injury. But on defense, dude, you're a liability. They put you in the pick and roll. They mismatch you. Even Curry's like 6'4", 6'5". Like, I don't know if there's going to be a place for him once he comes back from his injury and what he's going to look like from that. You know, he's older, you know?
So, Steph Curry and Dame Lillard are actually the same height. But they're totally different games.
Steph Curry was taller.
Nah. Well, that's the thing. Like, they play totally different games. Like, Dame Lillard, definitely more of a driver. Steph Curry is a shooter, man. Like, it's just a different style.
Oh, you're right.
And
he's 6'2".
For a point guard, like, what's the main role? What's the main job of a point guard?
I mean, it used to be you were a facilitator. You're the one that runs the offense.
You're a facilitator. I'd argue that's still the job. Like, I would argue that's still what you're supposed to do. So he's averaging 25, 7, and 4 rebounds. 25-7-5. Right? That's not a point guard. You may have the ball in your hand, but you're not the point guard. And on depending on where you go, you're going to have even less of a role. Right? You're going to the Celtics. Who are they giving the ball to? You, Tatum, or Brown? Tatum or Brown. I would say you're option three there. You're not Tatum. Going anywhere to be option one. No one is going to make you option one anymore. Not at age 36, not age, coming off of an Achilles tear. So I think the motivation is there. And I think there's going to be a little bit of desire there to prove that he's still got it. So I would give it a go. I mean, at this point, I'm getting $22 million from the Bucks. So might as well roll with it. You might as well take it as they're paying me not to be here.
You could. I don't see that working out for you, brah. Like, I don't see you playing in a place where you want to be, at a level that you want to play at. Like, you think your game is going to change, because of how old you are and what you've been doing to your body. And this all comes because he rushed back from that fucking thigh injury. And it's the truth. You can't, or the calf or the thigh or whatever it was. You got to.
It was calf.
You got to just. If you're hurt, you're hurt. If you're injured, you're injured. There's a difference. So
100%.
I think it would be best suited for him to start thinking about his next career, his next life. He had a good NBA career. They're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. They put everybody in the Hall of Fame. He's on the 75th anniversary team.
Take a drink.
I don't know. Take a drink. Manu Ginobili's not even on the team. So whatever, dude. You gave it a shot. You played in Portland. They'll still love you there. Just ride off into the sunset.
Now, what if he gets the call from a team like the Rockets and says, hey, man, like, we're on the come here. We got KD. We got Fred VanVleet is our, starting point guard.
You've got these really wild dreams. Like, that phone call is not happening. Like, they weren't even calling him when he was available.
For like, the mid-level exception, you're making that phone call.
I don't see it. I mean, maybe you're right, but I don't see it.
Teams will make the phone call for the mid-level exception, because he's getting paid by the Bucks not to play for them. Teams will come for him, even if it's just on a 1 year prove it. Teams will come for him. So it's just a matter of time, rehab.
It's going to happen now, or it's going to happen after his rehab.
I think it has to come from after his rehab. Now, if you can get somebody to pay for your, if you can get signed this year and get paid by two teams not to play, like, dude, go for it. Have at it. That's the American dream right there. That's Anthony Rendon is blushing. Hey. Anthony Rendon is absolutely blushing. If he doesn't have. So you're saying you got two teams telling me not to play?
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
Nah, man, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. Well, speaking of wonderful, the Knicks finally have their guy. And it was everybody thought it was him, and it ended up being him. Mike Brown will take over for the Knicks after being fired from the Kings. And yeah, that's all you need to know. He was fired by the Kings.
Yeah.
So over under 50 wins for the Knicks next year with Mike Brown at the helm.
Oh man, as the way the team is presently constituted, I have to say under. I can't see them doing better than they did last year. Especially, I feel like other teams are coming. I feel like Orlando is coming. I feel like Philadelphia has to be better, right?
If not now, when?
I feel like the Hawks are coming. And if you're gonna run this whole thing back and run this, like, if you're gonna try to do what you did last year with this team, I don't see it working. Unless Carl Anthony Towns takes over and becomes the guy, it can't be Brunson again. Like, it's just not going to work. I don't know enough about Mike Brown's offense to you know, say what he's going to be running and what he's going to be doing. But, you know, he did have success with the Kings. They had two good guards. They had a big guy. They're lacking that either point guard or two guard. They're missing Dante DiVincenzo, right? That's what they're missing here. And you got to imagine that OG is not going to play 50 games. You're not going to get the kind of hustle that you got from Hart the last 2 years. Like, he's a hustle player. At some point, it's going to fade. It's going to go down. I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't see it. So I'm taking the under.
Well, let's talk about the coaching situations that Mike Brown was in. You were coaching LeBron. So, LeBron. And I believe you got a year and change of Kobe?
Yeah.
Possibly?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you went back to the Cavs for a season. Then you were Steve Kerr's assistant. So you got him a cup of coffee. You got him a sandwich. And then you got your shot again with the Kings. And you did well. You did well. But there's a ceiling there, right? Now, even when you were winning 60 games, and he did that twice, nothing came out of it. But he had one conference, he had one championship appearance. He won the Eastern Conference once. So there you go. That's all you can say. And he had LeBron, and he had Kobe at one point. What more can you say about that? Not great in terms of results. Now, the Celtics are wounded. The Pacers are wounded. I don't believe in the Sixers. My belief in the Sixers is gone. It's done. The Cavs could push. The Cavs could be better. You know, they were the number one team last year, so there's a possibility that they can stay up there. The Pistons are coming. The Magic are coming. East is going to be difficult. As presently constituted, they're probably still a 2-3 seed.
Yeah.
I would say so. Conservatively,
I would say 3-4.
Somewhere in there. I would say that's got to be between 50 and 54 wins. I say that, if you're up in the 2 seed, you're probably in the 54 win range. But if you're in the 3-4, you're probably in the 48 to 50. So it's close. It's absolutely close. If you're asking me to bet the over, it's tight. Do I think he's 51 wins good? Do I think that he's bringing something that Tibbs isn't? Not really. Based on Mike Brown's track record, he's gotten teams to play for him. But, like, I can't put my finger on, like, what's a Mike Brown team? Right?
Right.
We know what a Tom Thibodeau team is. We know what a Pat Riley team is. We know what a Mike D'Antoni team is. We know what a Phil Jackson team is. But what is a Mike Brown team? They play decent defense. They play pretty good defense. Offensively, what is it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And what does that mean for Jalen Brunson? It's a question mark. But because the East is so weak, I'm going to give it the over. Even with the charging Pistons, even with the charging Magic, even with the Hawks who are better, I think enough teams are slipping back to the pack that 50 wins are a shot. It's a possibility. It absolutely is a possibility. Now, translating to the playoffs? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You after what happened last year, the expectations are high. You brought in Jordan Clarkson. You brought in Gershon Yabusele. I got it right this time. Yeah. So you're bringing in players to go along with guys like Campaign and Landry Shamet to fortify this bench. Because that was the issue last year. Like, you had no rotation. If Mike Brown establishes a rotation of 8 to 9 guys, he's already better than Tibbs in terms of roster development. So it's possible. It's going to be a hard 50, but I think Mike Brown could do it. I think Mike Brown can absolutely do it, and I think this team could stay relevant and high up in the Eastern Conference. From a championship desert to the actual desert, as the Phoenix Suns have taken apart in the first 17 trade in NBA history.
Yeah!
That's awesome. Mostly turning the free agent signings into sign-in trades. So, you know, there's that. History. Woo! So with these moves, the Suns have officially traded or swapped all of their picks until 2031. So this means they'll most likely be a lottery team without a lottery pick. Got that? Do the Suns have the bleakest future in the NBA?
I mean, I think if you're doing worst GM in all of sports, Suns Yikes. Guy gets it, right?
James Jones.
Like, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? How do you not have any draft picks for the next 6 years? How are we supposed to get better? We're going to pull from the G League? And then what are you doing? What are you doing with Bradley Beal, man? You going to buy him out? Like, what That's are we doing? Rumor. What That's are we doing? And then what are we doing with Devin Booker? I mean, what are we doing? It's almost like you have to trade these guys for draft picks at this point. Like, what's the point of having Devin Booker if we can't even win any games? What's the point of having Beal if he can't play with anybody on this team? It's just poorly run. And I don't know, at some point, you must have been looking, you know, all GMs like have a draft board in their office. You're looking at who's coming up and what other teams have. You realize that your next draft pick is like 13 years old right now? Are you going to go start looking at high school kids? Trying to figure out which guy, because you're going to have, that's the other thing, is like, then at 20 in 2031, then the game begins. Then we're going to start. We're just going to be bad for 6 years, winning fucking 20, 25 games every year. I don't know how you get a GM and a coach on board to endure that. I mean, for that matter, you just should have kept Kevin Durant. The fuck? What's the matter? Don't matter. We ain't going nowhere. Then literally the West is the hardest place to be right now, right? Because you've got the Spurs are coming. Oklahoma City just won the championship. The Nuggets won last year or 2 years ago. You know, the Lakers are supposed to be getting better. Like, everybody's going to be competing at a high level, and you have no young talent. Nothing. Zip. Nada. It's the bleakest future, but it's also got to be one of the worst general managing jobs. It's right up there with like the Nets, the Pelicans, even the Nets. All those draft picks in this year's draft, you turn it into squadouche. And then you have the Pelicans who are still Zion Williamson dreams. What the fuck are you guys doing? Awful.
Well, that's the thing. When your team is this bad, what do you need to do? What does your vision need to be? What do you need to sell the fans on so that they keep coming? Hope. Hope for the future, right? We got this young core. We're going to build this young core. and you're going to get in on the ground level. And then when we start winning, you've been on the ground level and you've grown with us. The Suns don't even have that. The Suns don't even have that. We were dogging Nico Harrison, right? We're dogging that guy. You mean you trade a Luka for AD and a bag of balls? Dare I say the Mavericks look pretty damn good now, don't they? AD, Kyrie, Cooper Flagg, Klay Thompson, laughing all the way to the fucking bank. So there is a new contender for worst GM. Nico Harrison, you're off. Wait, you're off the pedestal. We now have James Jones. And really, this is coming from the owner. Because when Ishbia took over, he wanted star power. He wanted to build this team like it was a fantasy basketball team. I'll have, you know, give me Durant, give me Beal, give me Booker. DeAndre Ayton was there for a little bit. Give me DeAndre Ayton. That doesn't work that way. Real sports don't work that way. You don't put a collection of names out there and hope for the best. Right, fantasy basketball, you have individual players playing individual games, collecting individual statistics. There is no actual gelling where they have to play together. So that started the whole journey of misery in the desert. And now they just continued it. You know, we talk about the treadmill of mediocrity. I take the treadmill of mediocrity. Like, the Washington Wizards have been the drizzling shits for like 20 years. And they have a better outlook right now than the Phoenix Suns. And the Wizards have been terrible, again, for 20 years. Nah, fuck that. I have more faith in the Wizards than I do in the Suns. I have more faith in the Kings than I do the Suns. I have more faith in the Pelicans with the rotting corpse of Zion than I do the Suns. The Brooklyn Nets, I can't name five Brooklyn Nets. I have more faith in them than I do the Suns. They're in deep shit, man. What more can you say? They're in deep shit.
Aw, shit.
Aw, shit. That's not Shaquille O'Neal left. That baby's out of here. But they have no assets. They have no draft picks.
Like, what? Like, why do you get up every morning? Like, what's exciting? Like, you look on the map, you're like, got a game today. Shit. Yep. Over 30 or under 30.
Jesus. It's like, we got the Spurs. No, can't beat them.
Can't beat them.
No, got the Magic. No, we can't beat them. Got the Piss. No, we can't beat them. Got the Rap. No, we can't beat them. You know, this is the question, right? Like, it's always the, could the best college team beat a pro team? Well, this might be the actual litmus test. We'll put the Phoenix Suns up against whoever wins the NCAA tournament. We'll figure this shit out right now. We will do this right fucking now. But it's amazing how this organization has fallen into such disrepair so quickly. And yeah, no hope. Absolutely zero hope. So enjoy Devin Booker while you got him, because he ain't going to be there very long. And, you know, you might want to start prepping the bags to put on your head. So when you go there, you have your face covered, because it is going to be ugly for the foreseeable future. Sorry, Phoenix.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly, or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote.
They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, take out a piece of paper and a pen and get ready to take some notes because we are going into the classroom. Dee and I have a statement and we're going to assign a letter grade for each of these statements. Statement number one, the Yankees' first half of the season.
Oh, man. It's, you know, it's hard because I believe, let me just get this stat real quick. The Yankees are 7-13 in their last 20. The Colorado Rockies are 8-12 in their last 20. You know, it's hard to pass. Anthony Volpe needs to be traded. They really need to work on their lineup. I just don't really buy into what they're trying to do. I mean, Z, if I was to say, here, bet $100 on one of these, and you tell me which one you bet on. Aaron Boone makes his lineup every day. The front office makes the lineup every day. Or that... you know, he asks the front office what the lineup should be every day. What would you think it is?
He asks the front office.
right, exactly.
Mr. Fishman, Mr. Cashman, who's playing today?
Wait, what should I do? What order are you thinking? Okay, got it. Like, come on. That's a no-brainer. Like, that's not even a question. And he just doesn't coach. We talked about it, I think, last week. Dominguez was in a slump. Had a great game, went like 3-for-5, 4-for-5, bench the next day. The fuck, man? The fuck? I said in the beginning of the year, I really liked their offseason moves. I like how they went after pitching, and it worked out, right? Because lo and behold, Cole goes down. Fried having a great first half. They're one of the best in run differential. I think they've scored the most runs in the league. If I'm not mistaken, they've scored the most runs in the league. The problem is their runs come in spurts, right? Sometimes they score a lot, sometimes they score nothing. And we talked about earlier, it's the Aaron Judge show. So I am going to give them an A.
Wow.
I'm going to give them an A because their run differential to me is what matters the most. And I do think that they can power through and still get to the World Series.
Wow, I was not expecting an A.
Yeah.
Not at all. So, with all of the nonsense and all of the the lack of major league caliber player on this team and the...
Talking about the Mets or the Yankees?
I'm talking about the Yankees. Now, the Mets are another story for another time. But you're looking at just the mismanagement of Jazz Chisholm. The mismanagement of third base.
Seriously.
Skip, you asked me to get ready to play second base for you this year. Why are you sticking me at third? Now my arm hurts. Oh, you're going to stick me back at second? That's great. Thank you. That's wonderful. So you're going to put LeMahieu at third, right? Oh, you're not going to put LeMahieu at third. Turns out you don't like his arm. You don't think he has a good arm. So you're going to play Peraza. Yeah. Peraza, Mr. 154. That's your starting third baseman. God, they miss Oswaldo Cabrera so much. I feel bad for that guy. Like that compound fracture of the ankle. That was nasty, gnarly stuff. But they fucked over Jazz Chisholm. Jason Dominguez, he's been up and down. But when he's been up, they benched him. Like you mentioned, like, we just can't give him blow. Why? He went 3-for-4. What are we doing here? The fuck are we doing here? What are we doing?
The fuck are we doing?
The fuck are we doing here? You finally got Stanton back, so that's a plus. Ben Rice, is he a first baseman? Is he a DH? Is he a catcher? Why is he learning to catch on the job in the majors? To where it actively costs you a game because he doesn't know how to properly block a pass ball. He can't get over properly. The ball squirts away. Tie game. Your backup catcher's an Uber driver. So, and that might, he might still be Uber driver. He still might be doing it. You trade for Devin Williams. He was awful at the beginning of the year. He's settling in. Weaver started out hot. He's regressing to the mean. Tim Hill has been good this year. You got some good stuff from Rodon. You've gotten great stuff from Max Fried. Somehow, they're 8 games over .500 with this roster. The same boneheaded mistakes, the same defensive miscues, the same lack of situational hitting, the same lack of situational awareness. The only reason why they're getting a B minus is because they're 8 games over .500 and they're in second place. If they were for, it would, this is, yeah, it's a poorly constructed team. It got marginally better in the offseason, and it's hard to see competing with the best in the league, right? It exposes, it underscores what we were talking about before, how the American League is not the league that we need to be focused on here. The champion will most likely come out of the National League once again. So I got to go B minus on this. Not impressed. And they're very lucky because it could have been a hell of a lot worse. Statement number two. The Braves first half of the season.
You mean the fourth place Atlanta Braves?
Yikes.
The 39-50 Atlanta Braves, the 13 games back Atlanta Braves, the behind the Miami Marlins Atlanta Braves.
They're coming.
The 2-8 in our last 10 Atlanta Braves.
They're coming.
The +4 run differential Atlanta Braves.
They're coming.
God. It's an F. It's an F. And I have most of these people on my fantasy team. And there are games where they don't score any runs. Like, what the fuck? Like, how are we not scoring any runs at all? None? Nobody? Nobody could knock in anybody. Even Ronald Cunha back. We can't score. We can't hit. We can't field. Guys on the team got like sub-4 ERAs. They have losing records. They're 3-8, 3-7. What the actual fuck? Greg Olson will go into a game and have 3 strikeouts. Thanks for playing. And he plays every day. That's great. F, 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 F.
They were expected to be better. Absolutely, they were. Expectations were high. You were going to get Strider back. You were going to get a full year of Schwellenbach. Well, you're not getting a full year of Schwellenbach because he has a fractured elbow, I think. So, he's done. Yeah, there are some bright spots, so I'm not going to go full F. Acuna's back. He's hitting well. I don't think you're going to trade him. I'm pretty sure you're not going to try and rebuild the farm system by trading your major asset.
No, he's a number one prospect. He's not.
Harris has...
They got rid of Freddie Freeman to keep him.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. As we all know, that was a mistake. So Harris has regressed, which is disappointing because he's actually a really good player. I'm going to go D minus. It was a risk to run that team back, right? Starting with Chris Sale. Like, you knew. You just knew. Anybody who's followed Chris Sale knows. Last year was an aberration. And Alex Anthopoulos rolled the dice. The Braves needed a bullpen. Alex Anthopoulos, yeah, we're not going to address the bullpen. Fuck that shit. You brought in Dylan, you have Dylan Lee. Dylan Lee could be a sneaky all-star. Dylan Lee, you know, 2-2-1, two saves, .86
whip. Could be the Antichrist.
Grant Holmes has had moments. Murphy has had moments, but as many moments as Murphy has had.
Grant Holmes is 4-8 because they can't score runs for this fucking guy.
This is the same guy who struck out 17 guys, though.
He's got a sub 4 ERA and he's 4-8.
Yeah.
Chris Sale is at 2.52. He's barely over 500.
Yeah.
They don't
score. We know what Bryce Elder is.
Another one, 2-6. With a. Well, he's got a 6 ERA.
Yeah.
Strider.
He was supposed to be a top level prospect. Albies hasn't played well. He's been on nothing.
I'm sure the closer has a fucking like 5 ERA.
He'll get you a prospect.
5 ERA.
He'll get you some high
A guy. Thanks for coming into the game and making it really exciting in the ninth inning. Ass.
Jesus. He will get himself. They'll net a like 17-year-old high A prospect for Raisel Iglesias if they try to trade him. But Ozuna is probably going to get shipped out. You're not trading Riley. You're not trading Olson. You're not trading. You may trade Albies, but what are you going to get for Albies? You're not trading Acuna. You're not trading Harris. Well, you knew. Well, here's the guy. He's back. Welcome back, Jerks and Profar. You knew this series. You knew the season was going to go in the friggin' toilet when after the first or second game of the year, he gets popped for fucking steroids. Adios, muchacho. Good job. And if they manage to somehow.
You couldn't even pick that up on the fucking like drug test when he started. You couldn't get that off of the physical. Wait a minute.
We know why he was so good at San Diego last year. Shit. So even if they somehow pull off the miraculous, he can't play in the postseason. So there's that. Good job, Jerickson.
Playoffs?
You kidding me?
Playoffs? So,
the best thing right now, like the media likes to say that the Braves are coming. Now the Braves are gone. It's out. Once you get passed by the Marlins, nah, it's over. It's over, Johnny. Once you get passed by the Marlins, it's over.
The Marlins.
The Marlins. The fucking Marlins.
Trying to lose.
The Miami Marlins. Yes. One in the same. So, D minus. It's been an atrocious year for the Atlanta Braves. One to forget. And then you just try to come back next year and hope for health. Yeah. Get something back for some of these veterans and try and run it back next year. But nope, dunzo. That's all we got in the classroom. Hit us up, faderoutmail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast. Drop us a line on X @faderoutdnz with any topics you would like for us to grade. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.
Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account @FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll @FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Canadian men's national team manager Jesse Marsh.
Wow.
Talked all that shit and then ran it back. Ran it back.
ran it back, tried to cover up for all of his hubris. Didn't really work. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got the New York Yankees, who after the last 2 weeks, they now have a worse record than the Colorado Rockies do in their last 20 games.
Ooh.
The Rockies are 8-12, and the New York Yankees are 7-13. And the Yankees have lost 16 of their last 23. Do better, boys. Just do better. The New York Yankees, you are my Legit Superstars of the Week, the second week in a row. Hope they win this week. Number two, the Chicago White Sox. Just think, Z, if they are able to go 70-2, they will win 100 games this year. Oh!
Jeez.
Second year in a row of being god-awful. Chicago White Sox, you are my Legit Superstars of the Week. And number three, the Phoenix Suns. After the 7-team trade and sending off Kevin Durant, and you have no draft picks until 2031. You've officially have traded them all or swapped them out. So I guess that's when you'll be good again. Phoenix Suns, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
You can't argue. You can't argue with these choices, especially the Suns. They're fucking done. They're just... What more can you say about them? And you know what? Frankly, they don't deserve to have anything more said about them. Fuck you, man. We're done. I am going to start with the U.S. men's national team. Gold Cup finals. Favorites, despite, you know, sending your C team. Losing 2-1 to El Tri. Losing 2-1 to the Mexican national team. At home in Houston, but it felt like a Mexico Hold'em game. The semifinal where they beat Guatemala, it felt like a Guatemalan home game.
That's great.
And it doesn't inspire a lot as we are 1 year away from hosting the World Cup here in the States. Yeah, it shows you the depth. And it shows you that you have some people...
Handball.
Within the rules of the game, letter of the law, no handball because he was falling to the ground. But he, like, palmed it. Like, it's one thing to, like... I thought he was going to pick it up and chuck it. It's like, yeah! No. I get the vitriol about the handball, but in the laws of the game and... Like, I understand that part, too. Bad optics. Really bad optics. It could have gone either way. Letter of the law, spirit of the law. I think it was a handball. But if you're going to be, like, letter of the law on it, play on. They have something in NYCFC keeper Matt Freeze. They have Chris Richards, Diego Luna. But the rest of them, not ready for prime time. And you have the guys that sat out. I don't necessarily know if, you know, that's going to matter next year. But the U.S. men's national team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Washington Nationals. The week before the draft, a pivotal moment for your team. You fire the GM and you fire the manager. Now, while this draft doesn't directly affect... this year's team, it could affect next year's team, because the direction you take could influence whether you take a project that's 4 or 5 years down the road, or a guy like Anderson who can possibly impact your team next year if he's good. But hell of a timing. It's wonderful. It's absolutely impeccable. You couldn't wait a week. Just a week. Make the pick and then fire the guy if you really want to fire. Washington Nationals, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Rafael Devers. He's back in the news. And not for right reasons. Remember when he was playing nice about playing first base? Like, whatever you need, Skip, I got you.
Well, apparently, the Giants brought in an independent instructor to help him learn the nuances of first base in order to get better. You know who that instructor is, D?
Will Clark.
Will motherfucking Clark. Exactly. The Thrill. That guy. A legend. Could pick it, could hit, but Will Clark is a stud.
Signed my glove at a baseball game one time.
There you go. Will Clark's the man. Will Clark is the man. If you listen to him, like he has a YouTube show. Like, he's fantastic. He tells it like it is. So, Mr. Devers did not show up to this training session with Will Clark. He snubbed Will Clark. He big-timed Will Clark. Yeah. So it's nice to know that the playing nice lasted all of, what, a month? Yeah. So, Rafael Devers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.